My name's David Jubb. I'm Joint Artistic Director and Chief Executive of Battersea Art Centre, and I've got no idea how I got to my current job. I was a producer here about 10 years ago and then ran a small independent producing company here for 4 years and then began as Artistic Director in 2004.
Okay. And what motivates you in your job?
Three things sprung to mind. People. Working with people and what can come from that collaboration. Transformation, the idea of the work that we do at BAC changing people's lives. It sounds perhaps slightly hackneyed, but I think it's really important and exciting and is a passion for me. And artists, I would say the extraordinary dreams of artists, that motivates me.
And talking about collaboration, how have you found the experience of joint artistic leadership at BAC?
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. David and I worked together when he came to BAC to cover a maternity leave, and we had such a terrific relationship through that time, and I think clicked in many of our shared interests and shared desires for BAC, that actually at a time when the organisation's leadership capacity really needed to be expanded because we were taking on an architectural project which was actually artist-led rather than going through a kind of normal sort of build process. We wanted artists to lead that process. And at a time when we were integrating our areas of activity and expanding the business model, it felt really important to increase the leadership capacity for BAC. And working with David has been absolutely brilliant. It's also not without complication. Any collaboration requires work. And we have to work at things. We're both total and utter control freaks. And so we have to kind of work at, therefore, which parts we lead and making sure for the first 6 months we spent shoulder to shoulder leading the organisation so that we were really sort of very much working very, very closely together so that we got right inside each other's heads and really developed a shared vision for the organisation. And then since then, we've then been able now to then go off and work on separate projects. And I think I hope it's very valuable for BAC, certainly in terms of the things that we wanted to do together as joint leaders. We feel like we're making some really good progress. So yeah, it's really good fun. That's the main thing. Leadership's quite a lonely occupation. Actually, when you're working with somebody on it, it's a really more exciting place to be.
So do you think this joint leadership might inspire others in other organisations?
I wouldn't.
It's unusual to have people leading jointly.
I think there are key moments in various arts organisations' history. I remember the Almeida in the 90s when they went through a particular period of development. I think it was the 90s. And again, actually, a couple of projects was involved in that where they had a joint leadership. I think there are models where it does work. I think there are also models where it doesn't work. I think it's a mixture of circumstance and chemistry. And I think certainly in where we were stood in 2008, circumstance and chemistry were absolutely right. There would be many other times when that's just not the case.
Mm. Okay, how do you keep up with developments in leadership? Or do you?
I'm not sure that I do. I don't think I probably do. I don't think that's a monthly task. I think that I am interested in watching other leaders. I'm interested in how other leaders do things. I'm interested in, if you're leading an organisation, whether it's 2 people, 50 people or 500 people, I think there are similar transferable kind of concerns and probably things that keep you up at night. And so I'm interested in watching other leaders and talking to other leaders to find out how they deal with some of those things. Like any sort of group of people that do something similar, it's really interesting when you, even in other sectors as well, in fact, particularly in other sectors, it feels like it's a really interesting conversation. And also cultural leadership program has been very useful over the last 3 or 4 years, and I've become increasingly sort of involved in various different events, attending sort of networking events and debates where I've heard lots of stuff, some stuff I have absolutely not agreed with at all, but it's useful in terms of keeping up to date, I guess, with where leadership stands in the arts at the moment.
You just answered a few questions I was going to ask you, which is great, about networking. I was going to ask also, is it something that came naturally to you? And do you think networking is important?
I think it is, although I hate it. I hate it when you think of it as networking. When there's somebody across the room that you really want to meet and there's something you'd like to talk to them about, I love it. When somebody introduces you to somebody because they know that there is some connection between you that might be, you know, fueled by meeting, I love it. When you're standing in a room cold, looking to talk to other people, I'm quite a deeply shy person, and I find that really, really tough and difficult. And that's why, again, CLP is quite useful at that, because it identifies individuals in different roles and gives you a reason to have a conversation with people. And I think that's a good and exciting thing. I love methodologies like open space, because rather than just sort of leaving a room of people to kind of get on with it, it provides a structure which I think then has a sort of democracy around it, whereas I think networking in traditional hierarchical structures can be quite a painful exercise, because if you are confident and if you know lots of people in the room and if you yourself are seen as a kind of hugely respected leader, then I suspect you'll get on better than somebody who's maybe coming through, maybe has just started to run an organisation of 3 or 4 people and actually has never met anybody in the room at all. Whereas a structure like open space gives everybody in the room a voice and a way to use that voice. So I guess I'm particularly keen on approaches like that.
Okay. And on the subject of the CLP, you wrote a foreword to the Cultural Leadership Reader, and you discussed your dislike of terms that send your jargon antenna jittering. I love that phrase. Did you want to say anything else about jargon in this kind of area?
I guess when I talk about jargon, I'm not criticising the kind of creative use of language, because I love it when people come up with sort of, you know, terms and expressions that maybe you haven't heard before, and that makes you want to find out. But also the very expression itself gives you some sense of what it might be. But I think often in a sort of corporate mode of behaviour, of which the cultural sector can be equally party to, as well as the commercial sector, you sometimes find yourselves in situations where people, through trying to create kind of shortcuts for language, create sort of all sorts of peculiar, strange terms, which other than people adopt, I don't really believe that they adopt them fully understanding or knowing what they are. And then suddenly you get this kind of complicity of ignorance, or maybe it's a complicity of knowledge and I'm just on the outside of it. But it does worry me, because again, if you've got somebody new walking into that room and actually they need a dictionary in order to understand what anybody's saying, then how is that leadership? Leadership has to be about taking people on a journey, and if you're speaking in a slightly different language, then that ain't leadership.
And finally, what projects and activities are you looking forward to this year?
I'm looking forward to our one-on-one festival, which happens in 2 weeks' time, right across the building. Do you mean projects at BAC?
Yeah. That sounds amazing.
I am really looking forward to that. It's about 35 pieces of one-on-one work across the building, with about 2,500 audience members coming to the building over the period of 2 weeks to see a series of one-on-one exchanges with one artist and one audience member at a time, including you get pushed out of the building on a platform looking upwards. You go on a date with Antur and Khud. You play a game of you with the same company. You have your own funeral with Hannah Kapow. A series of quite extraordinary art pieces. It's like somebody writing a song for you. It's like somebody writing or creating something just for you. And it's a really interesting kind of area of theatre practice at the moment. And so I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to Knee-High Theatre returning to BAC in March 2011 with Red Shoes, which was a show that they presented in our council chamber 10 years ago, and it's coming back, which I'm extremely excited about, and we're going to use it as an opportunity to work with the company to reimagine our council chamber, because we are actually kind of stripping this building back, almost trying to turn it back into an old town hall, which after all is a way more interesting a space for artists to work in than some sort of converted, slightly anodyne black box theatre environment. So I'm looking forward to that next year too.